Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Blitz is coming. Mariota in trouble, being ripped away, stays alive, throws it in the fire, and picked off. Guess who? Deron Bland. One man to beat. Pick six.
This from Jack. Jack writes, Kevin, I think Ian and that crazy Mark might be right, even though I'm sure it's revisionist history for them rather than what they actually thought back in July. If the team had no intention of paying Terry what he and his agent wanted, they should have traded him immediately. Yeah, Jack, that's great, but there was no market for Terry as long as his contract demands were what they were. Remember when he asked for the trade, Diana Russini and others said no one's going to trade for Terry because nobody thinks he's worth what he's asking for. So that's just not, you know, it's nice to kind of, you know, act like, well, you know, back then I was kind of suggesting, well, no one was, first of all. Secondly, to look back and say, you know, if they really, really weren't going to pay it and they were convinced that Terry was going to turn this into a, you know, camp-long holdout, they should have traded him. There was nobody in the league that wanted Terry McLaurin for the money that he wanted to get paid. So there was no trade market. Not to mention the fact, okay, that when you trade somebody that you have to pay, you don't get enough back in return. And lastly, the team did want Terry to play for them this year. They liked Terry. It's why they offered him the contract when they didn't have to do it. Jeremy in Baltimore is about to have an aneurysm because on the day after a 44-20 bloodletting in Dallas, it's Terry McLaurin Day, like we're, you know, on August 8th. Let's go to Bobby in North Carolina. Bobby, go ahead.
Hey, brother. I love you today for an hour and a half today, but I really wanted to talk to you. And sometimes I think I go off on this radio show. But anyway, that being said, I got five quick points, Kevin.
Just five. You did, Bobby. Yeah. You know, you held long enough. You get all five. Let's go through them.
No, I'm going to be real quick because I know I got to go in a meeting. I've waited on phone for an hour and a half. Anyway, defense is terrible. 27 consecutive freaking weeks having this conversation for the most part, Kevin. Defense is the number one problem with this organization now, okay? Number two, we got the score down to – we were outplayed the whole first half. Kevin, it was a 20-15 game with about 40 seconds on the clock. We were in the game, okay? Three plays later, they freaking give up a touchdown again, so we're down two scores, okay? And we were going to get the ball out of the second half down 20-15 if we would have held them. Wagner and Ertz, Kevin, they probably shouldn't have been re-signed. It was probably an easy decision for the organization to give them one-year deals. They're both aging. They're both showing their age. Bobby can't run, Kevin. He is not helping this defense at all. And I know you said he's the captain of the defense and all this stuff, Kevin. He cannot move outside the tackles. I love Bobby. He's been a good Redskin now for a year and a half. But you've got to get somebody else a chance in some situations, okay?
Yeah.
And don't run him out there 100% of the time. Ertz can't catch the ball as much as he needs to. He's got one or two drops every game. Number four, Lattimore needs to get off the field. He can't play, period, okay? He can't cover me, Kevin, okay? He's getting turned around every which way he can, okay? And he just cannot play anymore. I'm putting Sanders through on the outside and give Noah Eisen the reps inside, okay, and see if that makes the difference. You can't tell me that, you know, we're not better talent-wise in the back, because I know we are, okay? Sanders Steele was flashing all of last year. Quan Martin flashed last year. Now all of a sudden those two guys can't play. I just think you need to make a few changes. And lastly, you know, Dallas coming into the game, they were known to play zone, zone, zone. Guess what? They made an adjustment last week, Kevin. They went up a lot of man, okay? They put eight or nine people in the box all day long. And I'm telling you, my wife was watching the game. She said, look at all the people at the line of scrimmage. They can't block everybody.
The Bears played a lot of men in the box on running downs, too. There have been two straight games of a difficult time to run the football. Here's my question back to you. I still feel like they should have tried more. I sometimes think they don't try enough to run the football, and they get away from it a little bit too quickly. But I get it. You know, last year, anybody loads the box and plays man coverage, they're checking to something that's much better, and it worked all year. But with the players they had on the field yesterday, maybe the heavy jumbo with Trent Scott and trying to, you know, stick with it. Here's the problem, Bobby. You're getting scored on every single time you leave the field. You can't afford to leave the field.
I know that. I know that, Kevin. I understand. Okay? But you got to do something different. We're doing the same thing defensively. He's rushing four, dropping seven. I called you a couple weeks ago and told you this defensive concept is based on pressure and turnovers. And we are doing nothing in those two categories. Three turnovers after 7 weeks? I mean, no pressure at all, Kevin. They're rushing four, hoping they can get home. And we are getting picked apart, man. So I know you got to pick your poison. Yeah. Guess what? I'm going to put eight or nine in the box. I'm freaking going after the quarterback and let him make a hasty decision. And you might get a turnover here now and then. But anyway, I know you got to feel your
ball. They can't buy a turnover at this point.
I know they can't, but they're not. They're just falling back in zone coverage, Kevin, and I mean, it's just getting worse.
Well, they don't do anything well. That's the problem is, Bobby, and you know how much I love you and love your passion, that you've offered a couple of solutions, but it's not like personnel-wise they got a lot of places to go. That's, you know, and that assumes that personnel is the bigger of the issues. I'm not sure that's the case. I think scheme and having these guys in a better position is a big part of this. I do.
100%, Kevin.
Yeah.
But listen, it's just like my job and your job. If I do the same things wrong every day, I'm gonna get the same result. There's somebody you gotta. If it doesn't work out, go back to it. But you gotta try something different, or it's not gonna get different. It's gonna be the same thing.
Well, I mean, hell, against Atlanta, they tried a lot of different things. I got to go back to see how much they tried. Here's the one thing I'm gonna say. This will probably piss a lot of you off. I don't think it's a lack of like effort or urgency or trying or culture or anything like that. That's why I'm really, disappointed if there isn't something that changes to address the actual outcome. The outcome.
They play hard.
Yeah, they do.
They play hard.
They do.
They play hard. I don't have a problem with their effort.
They're just not good.
It's just something's not right, okay?
Something's not right.
I'm thinking it's a scheme, okay? Not right, brother.
I think that's a big part in it. I don't know if these guys are in the positions they're supposed to be in to have the most success. And as far as Lattimore goes, I was thinking yesterday with him, on Pickens, it's like, this is exactly why they traded the picks for you, is to match up with a Lamb or a Pickens. and to end up with more good than bad. Corners are never going to be perfect. We know that. But he is so heavily outweighted on bad versus good in those matchups that get highlighted the most. All right. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it, and I appreciate your patience, as always. Let's go to Ralphie in Rockville. Ralphie, same to you. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. So one thing, right, we didn't see these many coverage breakdowns with Jeremy Chinn last year. It was the run defense that struggled.
Right.
So Quan Martin, right, he can't fill the Chinn role of being the leader on the secondary that communicates with others. That's what a lot of people haven't noticed. Like, when you look back last year, Chinn was the one who was communicating to everybody. Quan is lost out there. He can't tackle. And that.
Did you think Harris had the whole thing figured out when he was in?
No, he didn't. He didn't. But if you look at that underthrown touchdown to CeeDee Lamb, that was supposed to be an interception yesterday by any starting free safety. It was right there, Kevin. It was an underthrown ball, and Brady pointed that out. And listen, you know, I was in support of Adam Peters, and I'm still a huge supporter of Adam Peters, right? However, he made a lot of bad decisions, from signing Matt Gay to that guaranteed deal, who got another penalty yesterday that led to a touchdown. They started on the 40. So, you know, from trading for Lattimore.
Wait, what play did you just say? Sorry, I missed that.
Matt Gay got a penalty. Remember, they started at the 40.
Oh, yeah, when he kicked it out of bounds. Yeah, like he
does that every other week, you know?
Right.
It's terrible. And you can't cut him because you gave him guaranteed money, and you can't really sign any other kicker that's good out there. So, you know, from signing Adam Gay, trading for Lattimore. Now, Lattimore, I can't be too hard on him because he was in position. It's not like he's not there.
He was in position, it seemed like, more yesterday than he has been. You're right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Exactly. It's just like Dak threw a perfect ball to Pickens. It was right in the bucket. It was You can't throw it any better. It's just better play by the receiver. So I'm not going to be too hard on Lattimore, but he is a liability because he can't cover and he doesn't have that speed. But he still has the physicality and the effort. And people, you know, they want to talk about the tackle. I mean, that was just a better play by Williams. He Lattimore should have got lower. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, and then my biggest thing, right, is this, right? You know, this is my I'm still a supporter of Adam Peters. I don't care what nobody says. I still support him, and I think he's going to get this thing turned around.
I mean, come on.
My biggest problem with him.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with him, right, is when you trade for Debo, right, and I was a supporter of, I thought Debo was a huge upgrade from De'Ami Brown. But my thing is, if you do that, you can't bring Noah Brown back. He's too injury prone. He's only played three games in the last 13 games, I think.
I know, but so what were their options? Tell me what their options were.
Kevin, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs. You could have got Luther Burden. You could have got it was plenty of options, Kevin. You know what I mean? Like, you could have you can't bring Noah Brown back. He can't play. He's done. He's never going to be the same. He has like 14 injuries.
You know what's so funny about this part of the conversation, Ralphie, is that when we talked about a second receiver, which was on my top five priority lists, now they added Debo, they added another weapon, but adding a legitimate sort of outside number two receiver, most everybody balked at it because that's not where the emphasis needed to be in the offseason. They did upgrade offensively by adding Debo, by adding Tunsil. The trade for Tunsil is an investment in protecting your quarterback, okay? It doesn't matter how it's worked out injury-wise. The move in that moment, and I still think was a good move. I think Tunsil, for the most part, has played well. But you couldn't address everything. The Luther Burden thing, you know, there were some receivers. We talked about them, you know, all the way up. But they ended up drafting another player offense that they thought made a lot of sense, especially after they got completely ravaged in the trenches against the Eagles. They upgraded. They wanted to get bigger on defense, and they wanted to get bigger and better in the offensive line. And that's what their focus was in this offseason more than anything else.
But, Kevin, you got to realize that Noah Brown can't play. He's too injury prone. You cannot bring him back. He's too hurt. He's just going to get hurt again.
You know, again, you don't have an unlimited number of draft picks. You don't have total say in free agency. And you didn't have enough picks after you'd made three trades to make many more. So you can't solve every single problem in one off season. You just can't. Noah Brown, for a limited amount of money, was worth bringing back. They felt like basically a very low-risk, high-reward scenario, and Debo was perhaps better than bringing a guy like Stephon Diggs or going after a T. Higgins, which was really the conversation more than any other receiver in the offseason. Thanks, Ralphie, though, as always. Jason in Laurel. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, how you doing? Thanks for taking my
call.
What's
up, Jason?
I'll try to be coachable. Okay. I'm, just shaking my head. You know, we're talking about Terry. We're talking about Joe Witt. Like, those things I don't think are the problem. We had a magical season last year on a last-place schedule and a quarterback that was like a gift from God. Now we don't have a last-place schedule. And that cupboard was bare. You said it a couple calls ago that the cupboard was so bare. I don't think, to a man, most of the fan base understands that. I mean, it was terrible.
I think they realized it was basically a one-man show to the NFC Championship game last year, for all intents and purposes. We knew that the roster was going to be limited. We knew that there was a chance. I mean, my record prediction is going to look silly at 11-6, but my point all along was they could actually end up being a team that maybe overall in year two improves a little bit, but because of what they have ahead of them, at least on paper with the schedule, end up with fewer wins. But yeah, I think everybody understood but people are also impatient. Remember, last year's season raised the bar so high, so quickly, and perhaps unrealistically so. I bought into it. I thought, look, as long as Jaden plays 17 and is healthy, they're going to be back in the postseason with a chance to do some damage. But that's in jeopardy right now. We did know, though, that the roster was depleted or bare.
Lots of young people play. I want to see lots of young people play. Obviously, I hope Jaden's okay. And if there's anybody on the team that's older than 27 that has any kind of trade value, I want them to trade it.
I'm not there yet. I appreciate that, but 7 games into the season, there is no way I am punting on the season at going into week 8.
Not saying punting.
Well, you want to see the young guys, you want to see the developmental guys, and you want to get value for their starters that are older. Which, by the way, there's not a lot of value.
There's so many holes. I don't think they can fill them all in one season. I think they maybe need 2 seasons.
Yeah, of course not. They've only had 2 off seasons to try to do it.
We'll still win some games. Because we have Jaden, but I really think the talent pool is poor. Thank you for taking my call. Hopefully,
thanks, Jason. Appreciate it. Let's go to our guy. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. Anthony, go ahead.
Kevin, when I say the words Michael Ray Richardson to you, what immediately comes to mind?
one unbelievable playoff series against the 76ers in 1982, 83. And then drugs.
The ship be sinking.
Oh, that, yes, yes, yeah.
So, I got a ball to pick with you.
It could be, but I'm not ready to jump off it after 7 weeks. No chance.
No, I mean, we go up to the deadline and see what's happening before we jump off. But I got a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
A few weeks back, I said to you that because of the success of the prior year, we've depleted our already depleted assets going forward,
right?
And that it was going to take approximately 2 to 3 years to get this roster right. And in so many words, you basically said I was crazy.
I did? About not having draft choices? No, what I would have said is what I'll tell you right now. They made the decision to treat the rookie contract as the first window to try to win big. And I agreed with it. But I didn't say you were crazy. I've suggested that there are two ways to look at the draft choices. I was in favor when last year ended to consider the rookie contract as an opportunity for window number one to go all in. They traded 8 picks for 3 players. And to your point, you know, it's depleted their ability to continue to try to upgrade, you know, what is not a super strong roster. But they also added, you know, Laremy Tunsil, Deebo Samuel, who's helped them win 3 games. But Marshawn Lattimore, obviously, is the bust of the 3 by far.
I'm being a little facetious when I say you call me crazy. But
yeah,
my point is, I was saying that it's going to take at least another 2 to 3 years to build out this roster, especially on the defensive side. Because basically the over the hill gang doesn't play in today's NFL.
Think
about it. We got to replace Wagner. More than likely, we're going to have to replace Lattimore. Are you going to give Payne a contract? Who's going to replace Dietrich Wise? Who's going to basically all of these 1 year contracts? They can't do
well. That gives them some flexibility, too. Remember that.
Well, think about it.
And they understood that.
They need, in my opinion, they need a game wrecker. They need a Max
no
Crosby, Micah Parsons, so on and so forth. But when you look at the landscape of the league, there aren't any out there because they're all signed.
Yep.
There are no free agents that immediately come to mind to say, okay, we can go after him. If there are, I'm missing him because I don't see him. So that brings the problem. The only way to get a him is you have to have a him. You don't know it. You draft somebody, you don't know they're him until they are him. So the only way they can get somebody like that is to trade for him. But they don't have any assets.
Yeah, but to your point, none of them are actually available. We thought for a brief moment that maybe one or two of them might be available, but they weren't, as it turned out.
So you have limited draft capital for the next 2 years. There are no free agents that immediately come to mind. Therefore, 2 to 3, maybe even 4 years to get the roster right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can certainly hit on a higher percentage than you normally hit on. And let's not forget that the reason that they, you know, last year's offseason and this year's offseason, with the exception of Kinlaw and the trades, okay, and those are big deals, I'm not suggesting they're not, that they put themselves into position to move on quickly if it didn't work out. I think some of the bigger issues are going to be if the next few weeks, well, we've got one game before the trade deadline, just the Kansas City game. I don't think they're punting on the season. I doubt there'll be a seller at the trade deadline. That's my guess. But if they, you know, have Jaden gone for a long period of time, then they might end up doing that. I got to run, Anthony. I'm up against a break. I got Ben Standing coming up. Those of you who I didn't hit, we'll come back to it for a few minutes at the end of the show. I'm not asking you to hold for the whole time, but we'll try to take calls at the end, and we'll hold off on all the other sports and the other NFL for tomorrow. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.